You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone in the 24 time zones. Welcome to The Real Short Box. And let me introduce to you my co-host and co-conspirators. First, let's give it up for the daffy, the delightful, but sometimes delirious, Donald. How are you, sir?
I mean, I am delighted to be here, certainly. I don't know what's going on with you, and that's none of my business.
I don't know what you're implying, sir. I'm happy.
Some
to
type
be
of drug usage, I think, is being
consumed.
Going on, yeah.
I think not. I feel good. I have the spirit in me.
Yeah, I guess you would feel good.
I have the good spirit in me. Next, I want to introduce the man who just emanates radiancy. A man who's a regular man, a good man, a rich man. A man who
is it showtime?
It's a man of piety. A man
it's
who
showtime.
Yes, showtime. He lives a life of righteousness. He is the showtime Raphael. How are you doing today, sir?
Is there a shovel around here? Because a lot of shit going on.
Oh!
Hey, I think we got DJ Sensational here. We got the Sensational one.
Well, let's not forget to introduce the sometimes sadistic, the sardonic, and also sassy Sensational one. Sassy. How are you doing? He's a little sassy at times. How are you doing today, sir?
He just called you up.
Pretty good, considering you're using a thesaurus there.
Yeah.
A rhyming dictionary?
Yes, a rhyming dictionary.
Right. Yeah.
I just want to give you a proper introduction. And of course,
that's so sweet.
Yes, and of course,
I thought this was all ad-libbed. I guess not.
It is ad-libbed now. Of course, I am your humble podcaster, the Grand Master of the Jedi and Vulcan Arts, Kevin. We're going to have a fun time today. We're going to discuss, essentially, drawing the line on comic book prices.
Yeah, like, it gets expensive, man. Like, I have a job.
And gas.
Shit's expensive.
Gas is expensive. And the fact that now the comic books...
Yeah, you can buy a comic or a gallon of gas.
Yes!
That's crazy. The gallon of gas is still cheaper than a comic most of the time.
It's disturbing.
A dozen eggs.
Ooh, that's debatable, depending on where you go.
Well, you can buy the eggs and throw them at the comic book store.
But I do think it's... It's one of those things, though. It's, you know, if the story, if the run is written well, then it doesn't feel so bad. It's just the fact that the prices aren't, you know, the same across the board. You might be paying $3.99, you might be paying $4.99, you might be paying $5.99.
And God forbid those annuals.
You might pay like $8.99.
Can we please, real quickly, can we please normalize putting the price and the issue number in the same spot every time?
Yeah, that's so strange. That is so strange.
Does it have to be on the back or on the bottom left or the top right?
Or inside the book itself? It's just weird stuff.
What bugs me is that Marvel and DC... We'll be like, okay, so we're in issue 38, or issue 40, for say. And then they're going to go to a new writer. And they decide to go, this is a new number one.
Yeah.
And now it's $8.99.
That's ridiculous.
Now, they do give you more pay. Don't get me wrong. They're giving you more book for that price. But my thing is, why does it have to be another number one? Why can't it just continue on? And then it's just a new writer. Maybe like the old days where you would put... You know, now on title, and then you put the guy's name or something to that nature. Or, you know, new whopping 35 cents or something to that nature. But I guess we're having the same argument that they had back in the day when they went from 10 cents to
12 cents.
To 12 cents.
To 15
and so on
cents.
And so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the drawing the line was the reference to DC Comics when Marvel raised their price to, I think it was 350?
No.
It was at 399.
No, in all respect, at that point, Marvel was far better company than DC was, so it was worth the extra money.
Oh!
That's something a drunk person would say.
That's disrespectful and maybe possibly.
But I'm just saying, I think Marvel was charging $3.99 at the time, and then DC was like drawing the line at $2.99.
So smart, they smart marketing.
And then what happened? Yeah. And then what happened?
New 52 happened.
Now,
how they were able to raise the price.
Now DC is the one, where DC is basically saying, we're charging $4.99 for cover A of Batman, and $5.99 for cover B because they're giving you a cardstock cover, right? And it's the same every time. And I understand, you know, the cost of the artist, the cost of the writer, and the cost of printing goes up, and there's no way to fight it because we're not gonna buy it. So everyone says, well, stop and not buy comics. Yeah, you could probably do that for maybe one or two issues, but at some point you're gonna buy the comic. And you could wait to see that book sit on the shelf, but there are very, very little comic book shops that are gonna discount new books. Right?
My pants are falling apart. I don't know what I should say here.
Well, I think you should probably spend less on comic books and buy some more.
Well, if comic books were cheaper, I would have better pants. How about that?
Well, wow. To DC's credit, they haven't raised the price of a comic book that much until the last, 5 years? And they did the $2.99 thing up until at least 2017, I think.
But has their content,
improved?
That's the question. So if you're going to say...
I think DC fans would say, for the most part, it's probably been more consistent than Marvel.
But I can tell you right now, Batman, Daredevil... Well, Daredevil... See, the thing is, the cool part is this. You have two titles. You have a Batman title and you have a Marvel title written by the same person. So you get to kind of see now that you're having that... And you probably had that back then, too. Maybe I'm wrong. But you're starting to see that that's helping both sides. Because now you're not having an exclusive writer to one company... It's going to write really well. Now they're doing both sides, so you're starting to see...
Whores! But all of them.
Yes, but you're starting to see titles are better reads, in a sense.
Yeah.
Well, they did the $2.99 in 2010, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so, somewhere around
2010.
There.
So that was the launch of probably the most consecutive run of... mega crossovers at DC, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had the Brightest Day, Brightest Night, Darkest Night crossover.
Yeah, Blackest Night and Brightest Day, yeah.
Right, yes. You had Flashpoint, mm-hmm. and then the granddaddy of them all, the New 52.
That's right.
Right?
Well, primarily trash, I will say.
There were some good parts. Batman, Green Lantern, Ant-Man, Swamp Thing. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Animal Man, Swamp Thing. Those were good stuff.
But all those had huge... they were successful runs,
mm-hmm.
and they were successful crossovers, and they held the line at $2.99 price tag in terms of the regular books. Obviously, you had your
prestige. But was the quality, not just the quality of the writing and the quality of the art, but was the quality of the publication better then or now? So am I getting the book?
It was better then.
Better paper. You're saying paper was better?
Yeah.
I agree, yeah.
I'm going to say you're right and you're wrong. The paper used, I thought, was better, meaning the quality of the paper, because I liked that sort of paper. But I think if you look now, the quality of the cover is a little bit better.
The cardstock ones are a little bit better, but they're a pain in the ass because of shipping. Shipping's actually gotten worse.
Mm.
That's probably the main complaint right now.
No, but remember this. We're the only ones that we're complaining because we want to... collect a near mint book so it becomes worth it in the long run. They're printing books so that you can literally read it. They don't really give a shit if we're going to have a collectible item
in 100 years. Well, okay, 100 years, yeah.
If you want a clear cut example, books from Marvel and DC back in 2010, 2011.
Made it with what kind of paper?
They were the interior paper was made of a synthetic, I think, I don't know what the actual term is, but it was a
Baxter paper. No, I'm just kidding.
Plastic paper.
It was a coconut husk.
Newsprint
left in the 90s.
Which I thought newsprint to me.
Thankfully, you're talking about like that really yellowy looking shit now with the little holes in the bottom and the ridges.
I like that because it's nostalgic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I get that, but
glossy paper.
I'm
has
a
been
feel
a thing
person.
Since, yeah.
I like the glossy feel more so. It's like the popsicle sticks when I was a kid. I didn't like the feel of the wood popsicle sticks when I had something cold.
That's what it reminds you of.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. So, like, for me, it was, like, always, like, I like the,
don't
the
you like that
the
old,
plastic.
Don't you like that old newsprint smell? Is it something special?
Or I would take the wrapper off, the plastic
there
wrapper,
is
and I'd wrap it around the wooden stick and hold it that way because the feeling is so weird.
Page.
Yeah, you got problems.
I know.
So, real question, what?
But the quality of books from since 2000, let's just say, has been better up until about 2012, 2013, 2014, when
Marvel
switched to
the cheapest shit known to man. Like every
interior
cover
and exterior,
you could see the interior through the exterior. That's how bad of a quality.
And they have the nerve to charge you what they charge you.
Yeah, they raised the price and lowered the quality. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, it's because, you know, paper went through the roof. Well, lower the page count then, motherfucker.
Like, now, let me ask you a question. Okay. So, and maybe I'm going to throw out a secret of some sort, but think about this. Okay. Marvel puts the price, the retail price on a comic book at $4.99.
Mm-hmm.
But the stores don't pay $4.99. They pay a very, very different price, right? Mm-hmm. So in terms, the question is who truly sets that price? I know it's on the book, right? So Marvel's printing it with $4.99. But is it because in order for them to make a margin and a profit on money, it has to be that price in order to give the discount to the comic shop so the comic shop can make their money.
Does Diamond have something to do with it too?
Well, of course. Yeah, you're missing the middleman, which is the distributor.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. But that, you know,
okay, look at it this way. Big Lots. Big Lots buys second lots, stuff that couldn't sell or stuff that's damaged or things like that. And like for a bag of Lay's potato chips, they get the banged up boxes. Bags are fine on the inside, but the boxes are beat to shit. Mm-hmm. So they'll buy those at 70% less cost, and then they'll just mark it up 25% to 50%, and they'll make anywhere from 25% to 50% profitability margin on those. You know, so it just comic shops don't have.
Well, that's
much
also
of an much option, room, much room. Right? Much wiggle room for that. There's just not enough.
I don't mean it. I'm not blaming the comic shop itself. But what I'm saying is, the price is driven by the fact that you have to pay the distributor X amount of dollars. You have to be able to sell it to a shop at X amount of dollars so they can make a profit.
Right.
And then you also have to pay the artists, the overhead. Writers. So you have to, there has to be a price point in order for them to continue to go on. Because if we said, look, we're going to stick to our guns. If it ain't $2.99, we're not going to buy it. And at some point, everyone stopped buying it.
That's right.
They could easily say, we're not going to print this shit anymore.
Right.
And we're going to go digital.
And that's what I fear it may ultimately happen over the next 20 years.
Well, if AT&T had kept a hold of freaking Warner Brothers in DC, that was their ultimate goal.
To go to digital.
Because they wanted everybody on their stupid phones and using their digital, you know, their cellular service.
No, the true matter
is what they were pushing.
The four of us sitting here, you know, show by voice. You can't show by hand, but show by voice. How many of us here would have continued to be a collector if you can no longer buy a physical book and it was just digital? I say I would still search out old books, but I would stop buying new stuff.
I'm in your corner.
Right? Yeah, I can't do digital.
What I would do is I would continue to buy older books, and then also I would use my library app to get the free trade downloads, I would read those of what I wanted to read, but I wouldn't pay for anything anymore.
Absolutely not.
But think about this. Nope. You love to pick up the coolest cover, maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
Or you like the feel of having the book in your hand.
Touching it, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So digital is not the way to go.
Touching you, touching me.
So drawing a line
we just got at
$2.99 is a thing. And maybe I'm on the wrong side of this table, of us four here. I understand the reason why comic books have to be that price. And I also understand why they make so many covers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to bring in enough money to make it worth it for them to continue publishing. So if it means the price hike, if it means multiple covers, I'm all for it if it's going to keep the hobby going.
But why have – there should be a limit of how many variants. Let's say no more than 10.
Here's the smart thing, though. Like I think they were really on to something by allowing people to create their own variant covers.
Well, that's cool.
How many artists do you think work for Marvel or DC? It's not a huge number.
Right.
And how many artists have you seen covers of that you then said, I want to see more of his art, and then we can start doing interiors? If you don't have variants, you don't have much room for artists to do, because usually an artist wants to do, you know, Clayton Crane just wants to do covers. But some artists want to do this thin tiers.
Alex Ross.
Penciling. They want to do whatever. Inking. They want to do small parts of it, right? So sometimes, if you don't have variant covers, it doesn't allow for other people to have cover, to have chance of making it into the industry.
But shouldn't there be like some kind of limitation though? Like no more than 10 variants? Because it's ridiculous when you have these big anniversary issues like, you know, Detective Comics 1000. It's like freaking 100 different.
I don't think they care. I don't think it matters to them. I think maybe in terms of, because realistically, there are a bunch of variants they put out themselves that nobody wants. And then there are variants people, individuals or stores put out that people want. Mm-hmm. So by limiting it, you gotta, I mean, like who's to pick and choose?
Right.
I mean, I do 100% understand with you, Kevin, is that, yes, sometimes you go, there's so many variants, you can't get them all. And sometimes, you know, you get the whole, like, you know, the new world industry FOMO when you chase these covers. But I do think that I've been introduced to artists that I probably wouldn't have been into
without them.
So it was kind of cool. That's and then fair. We've actually met here in the shop a couple artists that got their start. You know, Ben Bishop doing the turtle stuff, and now he's starting to do more art. You know, Cironelli and so on and so forth. So I think there should be a line of how many variants you can publish. But I do think this allows Marvel or DC or even the independent companies.
Introduce new folks, new artists.
Give an artist a chance and see if you want to bring them aboard. Remember, Peach Momoko, she just did variant covers. Mm-hmm. And then she got a contract with Marvel to do her own book. She did
the Psylocke book.
The Psylocke book,
so right? Basically, it's kind of like a tryout.
It is. And it's a way to see if they can make it and do a whole book. And then the whole thing of the price for me, I'm on the side of my fellow comic book collectors. Yes, it's a little pricey when you're picking up 10, 15 titles, it can be pretty pricey, and I understand that. And
especially if down, you know, you got to support, you know, different people.
There
kids.
Has to be a break, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some kind of break. But then I also understand that in order for the industry to grow, you got to break a couple eggs, right?
That's
to
true.
Make an omelet.
But at what cost, though, ultimately?
But I do think that if you're going to continue to raise the price on our hobby, then you have to be able to provide us with something extra.
That's right.
Maybe go up a page, right? Add an extra
story, perhaps.
Right? Or, you know, don't charge us $8.99 for number one. Keep it at the same price so that we feel like we're getting that one extra book, you know, whatever it is, right? And then, you know, and remember, they do the free comic book day, and we get free comic books sometimes. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Donald? What do you think?
Okay, so the free comic book day thing. Of course, we should all know that it's not free to shops.
We pay for
it. Right.
So keep that in mind when you're greedy and you want to take
20
copies of something or whatever.
Or the big key.
The shop has to pay for these books. They don't pay a ton because the publishers discount them severely, but they still pay money for it. So mm-hmm. The free is just an advertisement to get foot traffic in the door.
That's right.
And remember, they're giving you these free books so that you can come in
and check out
and pick up a couple other books. So mm-hmm. It's a way to bring you into the store.
It's a loss leader.
And introduce
it's
possible new
Costco
customers.
Roasted chicken.
Yeah. They don't want you to just come in and take 20 free books and then leave. They want you to build a relationship with your LCS, in a sense.
You go to any grocery store. You walk in. You look for the dairy section. It's always in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because you got to go through everything to get to it. That's why they do it. They want you to pull you throughout the store, so you have to get through the store because they know everybody wants their milk, their cheese, their whatever, you know, yogurts and stuff. They have to go through it, and then they're, oh, this is on sale. Oh, that's on sale. End cap space, hugely valuable in a store. They charge premiums for that for distributors like Pepsi, Coca-Cola. They pay extra for those end cap spots and for the display spots in certain areas, like in the bakeries or near dairy and stuff like that. That whole thing, it's very similar with comic shops in that. In comic shops, they want to get to pull you in through the store. So they want to say, hey, we've got free books. Come in. limit three, limit one, limit two, whatever, you know, come in. And then, oh, look, this is on sale. Oh, look, that's on sale. We have toys, you know. And then suddenly it's a whole new world for the customer that's in there. They're excited and they're thinking, oh, birthday, Christmas, myself, you know, and then they're making purchases. And that's, yeah, that's what that's all about. But there is, you know, there is expense on the table no matter what. But it's a good expense for the shop,
now,
in other words.
Now, what I can tell you is this. If you're upset about the prices of comic books going up, if you're bugged by the $4.99s and the $5.99s and so on and so forth.
Write emails.
And, well, not just that. If you're in the Chatsworth area and you have a moment, come down to We Could Be Heroes Comics, where if you join their pull list, and Donald will explain what a pull list in a second, but if you join their pull list, they're giving you 20% off.
Did you say 20%?
Off new books plus free bag and boards. So that 20% makes that $5.99 just a little less painful. And right. Donald will explain to you what a pull list is.
I had a really great
Do you get covered in board too?
What?
You give a free covered in board too to people who get 20%
off? Bag and board.
Bag and board. I'm
sorry. What the
hell? Bag and boards are free.
Covered in board.
If you're,
Kevin had a stroke, everybody. Yeah. We're taking care of him right now.
If you're on the pull list, you get 20% off.
Donald's giving him mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
And free bag and boards.
There we go. Yeah, Kevin's covered
his mouth
in boards.
Is up top, not at the bottom.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Okay, so if you want to pull us, basically how it works at We Can Be Heroes is they'll say, hey, you have to have three different titles that you want to pull each month. So let's say you like Amazing Spider-Man, Detective Comics, and I don't know.
Witchblade.
Witchblade. Jesus. Is that even a title anymore?
It's out there.
And you get those three books monthly. We will order them and put your name on them and set them aside for you. And each month that you come in, what they'll do is they'll do that for you. And they'll put them in bags and boards when you come to pick them up. And there's no extra charge for that. Now, a lot of places charge you $1 for a bag and board.
Oh, yes.
It's a buck. So you'll buy overpriced comics. They won't give you 20% off.
Nope.
Which is at least $1.
And, right. And they'll charge you an extra $1 to put them in a bag and board. Yeah.
And, and the tape, too. They'll charge you for the tape, too.
So I really like shopping there for that particular reason because it does save you quite a bit of money. So, yeah, definitely recommend that. If you can go to We Can Be Heroes in Chatsworth, they do a good job.
Does
there.
It cost anything to set up a pull list?
Free. No. It's all free.
And it's free to become a pull list member, and you'll never miss a title because if you put it on your list, it'll always be there. So no rushing to never no FOMO. You're not rushing to go find a book because it's on your list waiting for you when you get to the shop. And you're greeted by some of the greatest people in the world.
Wow.
Wow.
That was good to hear.
So Wednesday morning, you would have the book available in a nice clean.
But let's just say you couldn't. Let's say you couldn't come Wednesday. Let's say you had to work Wednesday and you couldn't come Thursday. So you came on Friday or Saturday. Your books would still be there because they're in your pull list.
And Kevin, a clean when's the last bag time you and came? Board. Yeah. and a clean bag and board too, no less.
Kevin, never.
Shit. All right. Well, I think we've covered pretty much the ground basis for this. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. I just want to say thank you to everybody involved, the audience and our panel here. We appreciate you all. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. Google Play.
YouTube.
YouTube.
Stitcher.
Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, whatever. You name it, we're on it. If you can't find us on something, reach out to us and let us know, and we'll get on that. We do a live show almost every Monday. Our audio podcast is the one you're listening to now, airs usually on Thursdays or Fridays. That's pretty much it. So
also, follow us on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Follow us on Facebook. Reach out to us on Instagram. Whatever you want to do, we're out there. And
subscribe.
Yes, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Thank you.
And hit that notification bell.
Thank you, Sensation One.
And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at hopefully a cheaper, less expensive, but always wholeheartedly lovely comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.